Brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's begin reading. Let's just look at this one verse here, verse 5. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now, since the verse begins with the word "for," that tells us that this is the answer why the previous statements are true. This is why some of those previous statements he made are so. He said back in verse 2, "By manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Then he said in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." He said the reason we commend ourselves by the truth to the conscience of every man is because we're not preaching ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for His sake. And if our gospels be hid, it's not because we've hidden it. It's not because we're concealing it or not been above board on everything. For we preach Christ the Lord. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ. We preach ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, seeing that is the point, that's the context, the way that we know that a person is God's preacher and God's people is because we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It matters what we don't preach. It matters what we do preach, and it matters how we conduct ourselves, what we do. What are we? Now, I just want to look at that verse, and we'll just take each section for our divisions tonight. First of all, we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves. Now, there's three things that that means. First of all, we preach not of ourselves. Secondly, we preach not about ourselves. And thirdly, we preach not for ourselves. We preach not of ourselves. No man can preach Christ in spirit and in truth of himself. No man can do that of himself. Now, he can preach the truth of himself. He can preach true doctrine of himself, but he can't get a message from Christ to his heart and be the vessel that Christ uses to deliver that message and through whom Christ delivers that message into the heart of his people. That's what it is to preach in spirit and in truth and to hear and worship in spirit and in truth. It's to not do it of ourselves, but to do it of Christ. For Him to be the one that's causing it to be preached and to be heard in spirit and in truth. Our message is of God, and it's from God, and it's made effectual in the hearts of our hearers by God. That's what He says in the next two verses. He says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's saying that's how we preach. It's not of ourselves, it's of God. God shined the light. God gave the knowledge of His glory in Christ, in the person of Christ. And look, how then is it going to be made effectual in your heart? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, he didn't come to Christ preacher of himself, and it's not going to come into the hearts of his hearers of himself. It's not, we don't preach ourselves. Christ is the one who preaches us, and Christ is the one who makes us hear the preaching. It's of Christ. You think about this. God's true preacher was predestinated by God, ordained by God to be his preacher. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, before your mother found out she was with child, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and I ordained you a prophet, God said. That's true of all his preachers. Before I knew you, before I formed you, I knew you, and I ordained you a preacher. And then God called his preacher and called his people, made us his witnesses of him. And then God commissioned his preacher, gave him the charge. And then God gives him the message to preach. And then God entrusts the gospel to him to preach it. And then God goes with him and makes it effectual. Everything's of God. It's not of us. Now, since that's the case, brethren, it's by the power of God. It's of God that we preach only what Christ would have us to preach. You and I go forth in the world when you bear witness in your workplace, whatever, you're going to declare what Christ would have you declare. I'm going to stand here and preach what Christ would have me to preach. And I can't preach otherwise. I can't preach otherwise. I can't take the offense out of the gospel. If I pleased men, I wouldn't be the servant of God. I can't take the offense out of the gospel. I can't take away from the word or add to the word. I can't compromise it simply because it's offensive and it may cause divisions. I can't do that. We have to preach what Christ gives us to preach. When I was growing up, I remember hearing some of the members of the will-working churches around us. I can remember hearing them ask my grandfather, why do you preach the doctrine of election? It's offensive to men, they would say. It causes division, they would say. And it's not necessary that a man have to know the doctrine of election to be saved. So why preach it? Well, brethren, if we took that approach, who would be dictating what we preach? Men would. Man would. We'd be preaching based on what's not going to be offensive and what's going to keep peace. And we can't do that. We have to preach what God gives us to preach. We preach not of ourselves. So we're not permitted to just preach and try to take it into our hands and make it non-offensive. And Christ teaches us this, too. He teaches us that He will cause division through the gospel. Now, we're not to try to cause division through it, but He tells us He will cause division through the gospel. I want you to go to Matthew 10. I've read this to you quite a few times recently, but I want to show you something else in this passage. Matthew 10, verse 34. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And get who's saying that. Christ said, I am not come to send peace on earth, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be there of his own household. Now watch this. But now, if we saw that happening, you and I saw that happening, and me as God's preacher, if I decided, well, I'm going to try to keep the peace, so I'm not going to preach this doctrine anymore because this is what's causing offense. I'm not going to preach it anymore. What would I be doing? Here's what I'd be doing. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. That's what I'd be doing. I'd be finding my life and losing it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now listen to this. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now I want you to hear this. This is true of his preacher. This is true of every member of his church. Because we're all witnesses of Christ. He that receiveth you receiveth me, Christ said. Now listen to this. Watch this. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet, that is a preacher of Christ, a preacher of the gospel. He that receives a preacher of the gospel in the name of a prophet, that is because he's a preacher of my gospel, Christ is saying. He that receives a preacher because he's a preacher of my gospel shall receive a prophet's reward. He will be taught the gospel in spirit and in truth, Christ is saying. You receive my preacher because he's my preacher, and you'll be taught the gospel in truth. That'll be the reward. Now, that doesn't just apply to the preacher, though. Watch this. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, he that receives one of my believing people that I've made righteous, because he's one of my believing people that I've made righteous, he that receives him, receives the word he's bearing witness of, he shall receive a righteous man's reward. He'll be taught the righteousness of God. He'll be taught the truth of God. The man that receives you and your witness of Christ, you being the righteous ones that Christ has made righteous, that man will receive the reward given to him by Christ through one of his righteous witnesses. And look at this. And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, only because he is my disciple, bearing witness of me, Christ said, verily I say unto you, that means this is of utmost importance, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That's what Christ's people do. They receive his witnesses, they receive his preachers, because they are Christ's witnesses and Christ's preachers, preaching the truth of Christ. And we receive a reward from that. We receive the truth. We receive the gospel. And Christ says, we care for one another. We provide for one another. We take care of one another. A cup of cold water for one another. And he says, and they'll no wise lose my reward. But that's an answer to those ones who he said, but now, if you love father and mother more than me, so you don't receive my prophet, and you don't receive my righteous men, and you don't receive my disciple, you're not worthy of me, and you'll lose your life. You see that? You see the opposite there? There's two contrasts there. So Christ said that, but now listen, I want you to go to Matthew 13, too. I'll show you this as well. But let me make this statement. The Spirit of God tells us that there will be, Christ said there are going to be divisions because of my gospel, because my people are not going to preach themselves. They're going to preach my word, what I give them. But he also told us it's needful that heresies come about and divisions come about. Listen, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. It's needful, he said. But now watch this. And he said here, the persecution that we're going to bear, his preacher's going to bear, his people's going to bear, because we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ. But he said, that persecution, that division that's going to come, though it's needful, though it's going to manifest who are his and who's not his, he said, it's going to make some be offended and depart who once professed Christ. Look. Matthew 13:20. He that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself or of himself. See, a man can't make himself believe of himself any more than we can preach or bear witness of Christ of ourselves. Now, he can do it in the flesh for a little while, just like a preacher can preach in the flesh for a little while. But, he says, but when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, because this word's going to cause division, he says by and by he's offended. You see, God's true people and people, we're not divided. We receive God's preaching. We receive God's witnesses. Because we hear God Christ speaking the word into our hearts through it. And that's the reward. We have the truth given to us. We're not divided. We may not agree on doctrine that's not essential. But God's people are not divided. They're just not. But what this division does help us to see is see those who are truly preaching Christ's word and standing for Christ and not compromising and not taking the offense out of the cross. It helps us to judge who are really His preachers and His people. And it helps us to discern those who are just want to cause division and just want to use the word of God deceitfully. And who are compromising it and preaching a false gospel and enjoying hearing a false gospel. You see, we're given discernment through this word to understand when this word causes that kind of division, we have discernment to understand it. You see, so it's needful that we stand with Christ and preach of Christ, not of ourselves. And this is what His preachers are doing. We don't preach of ourselves. We preach and believe the gospel according to the Lord. And we don't listen. So we're not letting people that are offended or people that want to persecute or people that want to divide, we're not letting those people interfere with what we preach at all. Christ's preacher is not because he's preaching of Christ. And Christ's people are not because they believe and bear witness of Christ, not of themselves. This is what God said to His preacher and His people. Listen to this. I encourage you to go read Jeremiah 23 on what he talks about the false prophets and true prophets. Listen to this one verse here. He says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. That's the false prophet. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord. In other words, I don't care what other men are saying. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they... And I'm not going to not preach what Christ has given me to preach just because it's offensive to some. And that's being faithful to God rather than men. And then the next thing this word means, we preach not ourselves. It means we don't preach about ourselves. You know, when sinners are so worried about offending sinners, and so they dumb down the message. You know, that's what most religions are doing. Let's just preach what we think is just the necessity concerning Christ and nothing else. Because anything else would get offensive. And they dumb it down to just what we think might be necessary. And then if they do that, then they refuse to preach the Scriptures in truth. And they take the offense out of the cross. You know what they're left to preach? About themselves. They're left to preach about sinners, what you ought to be doing and what you ought not to be doing. And they can't preach the truth about themselves, because then they'd say you're just a guilty, condemned sinner in Adam who's got to be saved by Christ alone. You can't say that. You just preach themselves. But God's preacher, Christ's preachers, don't preach about ourselves. The only thing we say about ourselves is we fell in Adam. We became unrighteous and guilty by Adam's disobedience. We became sinful in our nature and our heart by being born of the first birth. And so it's absolutely necessary that our triune God do all the saving in Christ Jesus. When we preach about ourselves, that's what we're preaching. We cannot make ourselves righteous and make ourselves holy. We can't redeem ourselves. We can't do anything that would please God. We don't even have wisdom to do anything. Christ has to do it all. That's what we preach about ourselves. And also, when he says we preach not ourselves, it means we preach not for ourselves. We're not preaching for personal gain. That's not it. We're not trying to build a big, impressive church and get a lot of impressive works and so people will really think we're something. And we can get a lot of money in the pot and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm not preaching for my personal gain. We're not preaching. That's called in Scripture filthy lucre. This is what God's preacher does. He feeds the flock of God which is among you. He takes the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. That's what Christ makes his preachers do. So we preach not ourselves. That means we preach not of ourselves, we preach of God, of His power, of His giving, what He gives. And we preach not about ourselves, except to shut us all up as guilty and in need of Christ. And we preach not for ourselves, for personal profit. We preach not ourselves. What do we preach then? Secondly, that we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. That doesn't mean we preach Christ Jesus the Lord plus something else. That means we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Why do we do that? Go to Colossians 1. We preach Christ because we want what pleases God. What pleases God pleases us. By God's grace, what pleases God pleases us. We want what pleases God. Well, what pleases God? Colossians 1. In verse 18, it says, Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence. That in all he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are all fullness in him. That's what that word complete means. So, Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and those that he saves have all fullness in Christ. You're complete in him. And so all fullness of God and all fullness of His people is in Christ. And that's what pleases God. And that's why we preach Christ. Because all fullness is in Him. Remember when He spoke from heaven? And this is what God the Father said when He spoke from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. In whom I am well pleased." I'm well satisfied. My justice is satisfied. My law is honored. My glory is declared. And all my people are fully provided for. In him I'm well pleased. And what was the next word? Hear ye him. Hear him. Hear him. We preach Christ because Christ is the gospel. That's why we preach him. We preach Christ because Christ is the Word. He is the gospel. He is salvation. Let me see if I have time. Yeah, go to John chapter 1, and then I want you to go to 1 John chapter 1. Look here at John chapter 1. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Capital W, Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look down at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word is Christ. Now go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Now listen to this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen, and we bear witness. And we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That's what we're preaching, he said. Christ, look, that which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying we preach Christ Jesus because Christ is the Word of life. He is salvation. That's why we preach Him. You know, we preach Christ because people need righteousness. We're guilty. We need righteousness. And Christ is the righteousness of God. Christian, imagine somebody come into the mercy room and they're fixing to die. And the physician is there. You got the physician that can cure them. He's got the medicine that can cure them. You got all the equipment you need. Everything is right there, ready to be used. And instead of leading them in there to where that doctor is, you take them and wheel them off down to the cafeteria and say, I'm going to give you some peas and cornbread. That's what you need. You see, that if Christ is the Word and He's the Gospel, He's the life, He's the righteousness we need, why on earth would men preach anything else to perishing sinners? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So why would I go and start preaching the law and telling sinners to go to the law when Christ is the end of the law for righteousness? That's what we need. That's what we need. We preach Him because we're not ashamed of this gospel. We're not ashamed of Christ. And we know sinners are perishing and sinners need to hear the truth. And they need to hear about this righteousness. And the only way they're going to hear this righteousness is through the gospel of Christ. Because that's the only place God's going to reveal Him. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It doesn't matter who he is, Jew, Gentile. Because therein, in this gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, which makes the just live by faith. You see, if I preach about the history of the Reformation, God didn't say He was going to reveal anything about righteousness through that message. If I preach how it's good for a sinner to do this work or that work, but I don't preach Christ, I don't shut him up to Christ, I don't show him he's guilty and he's Christ, God didn't say he's going to reveal the righteousness of God through preaching what a believer ought to do and not ought to do. He's going to reveal him through preaching Christ. It's okay to preach what a believer ought to do and not do, but I got to preach Christ every single time. What if the person sitting in that pulpit's never heard of Christ? And all I preach is what a believer ought to do and not to do. He'll walk out of here thinking, well, if I do that and don't do that, I'll be saved. I need to preach to him what Christ declared, or what God declared. His Son and the glory of His Son. We preach Him because we're His ambassadors speaking Christ's words. Paul said, we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. Well, what did Christ preach? What did God preach when He walked this earth? What was His message when He walked this earth? If I'm His ambassador preaching His words, I ought to preach the same message He preached when He walked this earth. What did He preach? When He was with those two fellows on the road to Emmaus, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. That's what He preached. If I'm His ambassador, I better preach Him. That's what he preached. Here's Christ's charge to me. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That part's not up to me. That part's not up to me. My charge is you go into the world and preach the gospel. That's our charge. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everybody. No matter who they are, preach the truth. The reason was Paul was determined to preach Christ and Him crucified only, and the reason that I am is because Christ is all the guilty sinner needs. That's all. That's all. Christ is all we need. And it's not just all we need until we quote, unquote, as religion says, get saved. We're not saved yet, brethren. We're saved and are being saved and shall be saved. But it pleased God, through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. And that's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The message that turns you from you to Him in the first hour, the message that made you repent from your sins and from your self-righteousness and cast all your care on Christ the first hour, the message that troubled, that said be still to the waves and made the waves calm and made your heart calm and made you cast all your care on Christ in the first hour was the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. And that's the same gospel that's going to do it every other time you hear the gospel preached. Same message. Same message. This is the record. Now listen to this. I pray God, whoever's sitting here and has never believed on Christ, never confessed Christ, listen to me. Hear this. It's not going to be my words that's going to make you hear. It's not going to be how simply I can put it or what good illustrations I can give. It's going to be God making you hear it. It's the only way you're going to hear it and believe. But listen to this. This is the record. This is the gospel right here. That God hath given, freely given, by His grace, having mercy on whom He'll have mercy, God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Now listen, he that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? That's all that matters. When you stand before God in the day of judgment, it's not going to be a whole list of questions that are going to be asked to you. One thing's going to be asked. Do you have the Son? That's all it's going to matter. Do you have the Son? If you have the Son, you have eternal life. But he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, when I'm talking about sinners, I'm talking about perishing sinners, condemned sinners, sinners condemned already. He that believeth not is condemned already. I'm talking about those already who are condemned, those already who are fallen, those who are already in need of Christ, perishing sinners. That's all I have sitting before me right now. That's all you see standing before you. I need to declare to you Christ. I need to hear Christ declared. Because He is the salvation of perishing sinners. Paul said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me unto me if I preach not the gospel. Why? Because of all these reasons I just laid out to you. This is what God's pleased with. His Son being honored. His Son being glorified. Hear ye Him. This is what guilty, perishing sinners need. Necessity is laid upon me to preach one message, Christ and Him crucified, and woe unto me if I don't. And notice it says there, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus is Lord. We don't make Him Lord. Men tried to take Him and make Him Lord one time. You know what He did? He left them.
He left them. Men aren't going to make Him Lord. He is Lord. He came into this world, King. That's who He is. And notice, He is the Lord. There's only one. There's not multiple gods in this world and multiple deities. There's one God, Christ Jesus, the Lord. He's the one. And the reason I'm preaching Christ and determined to preach nothing but Christ is, He's my Lord. Is He your Lord? I tell you, if He's your Lord, I tell you what you'll do. You'll obey Him. And you know what He says do? Believe on Me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His command. Believe on Him and thou shalt be saved. And if He's your Lord, that's what you'll do. You'll believe on Him. Can't do otherwise. Can't do otherwise. Now let me go to this last thing. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And here's the last thing. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. You know, since the first day that I moved here, well, before the first day I moved here, because moving here was just as much part of serving you as when I got here. You don't pick up your family and move 24 hours from where you grew up and 14, 15 hours from where you were living unless you have a heart to serve those you're moving there for. You know, people who, this is in the early go, we had a lot of folks who the Lord was separating things out, you know, through the gospel. And so you had people that were saying, well, he don't serve. He ought to serve us. He's not serving. And that's so painful. That's so hurtful. Those people are saying that, sometimes won't drive 30 minutes to come hear the gospel preached. I moved 24 hours. I moved 16 hours from where I was living to come here. I'm not serving you. And since I've been here, all I've wanted to do was serve you. That's it. I didn't want to put a burden on you. Y'all have always been good to me. You were one time, and I'm saying this because Paul said these things. But there was a time when y'all had taken care of me really well. But I knew we wasn't going to ever get out of that firehouse if we stayed that way. And I asked you, so I said, cut that in over half for me. Because that's the only way we're going to have the money to get a down payment on a building. So, I try not to put a burden on you. I want to serve you. And that's nothing. That's nothing at all. Think of what Christ did to serve us. Think of what Christ has done. Came down from glory to this cesspool to walk among us and then go to the cross, be rejected, despised, a man of sorrows, constantly, every day, every hour, rejected and despised of men. There He is bearing our sorrows, bearing our griefs, and we're calling Him smitten and afflicted of God, getting what He deserved. So, when one of God's preachers feels like, you know, he's trying to serve and people don't take it like that, it ought not to offend him because that's what they did to Christ the whole time he walked this earth. But God's preachers are not trying, they're not being served, they're serving. That's what they want to do, is serve. They want what's good for Christ's church. And that comes first even before my own house. Because I know this is the number one way God's going to provide for that woman right there and my children is through the preaching of the Word. So that's what Christ preacher does. And he serves the Lord's people not by running from house to house and helping them in temporal things. That's what most men mean when they say God's preacher's not serving. They mean he's not making house calls. But you know what? If we took the Word of God and didn't get our practice from vain traditions of vain churches, we'd never find that in the Word of God.
That's not how you serve the Lord's people. Christ's preacher serves his church by giving himself to the word and to the prayer. He serves the Lord's people by endeavoring, searching, laboring to get a word from the Lord Jesus Christ, and then delivers that word to the Lord's people. That's how you serve. You minister the ordinances, the Lord's table, and the baptism. In other words, you serve in spiritual things. That's the kind of servant Christ makes his preachers. Serve in spiritual things, not temporal things, spiritual things. There may be some times when you can help temporal in temporal ways, but that's not your charge. That's not your vocation. Your vocation is to be a servant in spiritual things. Paul gave himself to serve the church at Corinth. But now listen to this, how his heart was pained when he saw some doubting him. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12. Look there with me. 2 Corinthians 12, 13. I just have a few more minutes here. 2 Corinthians 12, 13. Look at this. He said, "For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you?" That means he took no money from them. And he says, "Forgive me this wrong." And he's being sarcastic, because they were accusing him of all kinds of wrong. And he said, "Well, I guess I was wrong not to burden you." And he says, "But behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I'll not be burdensome to you. Why? For I seek not yours." I'm not seeking yours, but you. That's the reason. "For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." He gives an illustration we can all understand. You know, what kind of parents would we be if we wanted our children to be out working and saving money so we could just sit back and do nothing? No, we work and save up and provide for them. And he said that's what a preacher is supposed to be doing. He's not supposed to be depending on the people to provide for him. He's supposed to be providing for the people, serving the people. That's what he's saying. "And I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you." Even though, in the face of this, while this was going on, Paul said, "Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I'll be loved." There was folks doubting him. There was folks, after everything he had done, there were folks turning their back and receiving those vain preachers and casting doubt on Paul after all that. How do you endure that kind of pain? How do you endure that not faint? He told Timothy, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Christ is alive. He said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, because I preached this, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Isn't this something? The word we preach causes you to be persecuted. But the word we're preaching is about Christ, the Word, who's risen and reigning, and it's by Him that we cannot faint and keep preaching that Word. And be sure to catch the reason why now. He said in verse 5, "For Jesus' sake." It's why we do it. He said there we do it for the elect's sake, but here's the preeminent reason: for Christ's sake. We're doing this for Christ's sake. I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians 1. I'll show you this. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Look at this. "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy." You can tell you what that can also mean. That could be a capital J right there. Not only are we helpers of your personal joy, but we're helpers of Christ, your joy. Helpers for Christ's sake, who Himself is your joy. You get that? We're doing this. We don't have dominion over your faith. We're just helpers of Christ, for Christ's sake, who is your joy. We're helpers of your joy, Christ. Helpers of Christ. What makes Christ preachers and people live like this? Why do we live like that? Why do we want to serve one another? Why do we want to see Christ honored and glorified and do this for Christ's sake? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. Here's why. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. If I get mad and I leave and I run down Christ preachers and Christ people or whatever, I'm living to myself. That's what I'm doing. But the love of Christ constrains His people to make us deny ourselves. If I believe God's sovereign, you know what I can do? I can wait on God. I can trust God. If I think something's wrong or somebody's wrong or anything, you know what I can do? I can trust God. Everything Paul's been saying right here, that's what he's been saying. I just trust God. I'm doing this. I'm preaching His Word because I get it from Him. I'm serving His people because they're His people. I'm doing it for His sake. And I'm trusting Him to do everything. So I can just wait. And that's the reason we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and our servants for Jesus' sake. It's for Jesus' sake. For Christ's glory. That's why. Amen.